Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 5th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Many people know about the Chisholm Trail, about Dodge City, the Border Wars, Cary Nation, and many other historical facts about Kansas, but the state holds other overlooked places. We'll visit one after the news. Wichita City Council approved an agreement yesterday that will transfer operation of the city's homeless shelter to a new nonprofit, KMUW's Celia Hack reports.
The city bought a former elementary school last fall and turned it into an emergency shelter that Humankind Ministries operated this winter. But starting April 1st, a newly established nonprofit called Multi-Agency Center Board, Inc. will operate the shelter. The board will also help start an on-site navigation center where social service providers can connect with homeless residents. Steve Dixon, a local business CEO, is chair of the nonprofit's board.
There's a big difference between emergency winter shelter of, you know, survival versus shelter, right? And the goal of MAC long-term and starting April 1 will be, how do we start to get people involved in housing and focused on housing and housing plans?
Dixon says the organization's next step is to contract with a provider to staff the shelter. For KMUW News, I'm Celia Hack.
Kansas lawmakers are considering a child tax credit for parents of children 5 years old and younger. As KMUW's Rose Conlin reports, the bill has bipartisan support.
The Kansas birth rate is declining. Republican Senator Chase Blasey and Democratic Senator Dinah Sykes say that could be due to the high cost of childcare. Their bill would give parents, depending on income, a tax credit of up to $600 for every dependent child 5 and under. Nathan Kessler with Kansas Action for Children says a child tax credit is one of the most effective ways to lift children out of poverty.
This one policy can simultaneously feed hungry children, stimulate economic activity, and better align our tax code with the interests of the working class and our state's family values.
Nobody opposed the bill. It's projected to cost around $51 million in reduced tax revenue in its first year. For KMUW News, I'm Rose Conlin.
People visiting Old Town will be required to pay for parking, despite a petition aimed at finding an alternate solution for businesses in the area. KMUW's Mia Hennen reports.
Old Town businesses petitioned the city to avoid paid parking in the area, instead asking for an extra 2% sales tax there. City council members voted to not hold a public hearing about the sales tax, preventing the petition from moving forward. Council member Maggie Ballard says she's worried the sales tax wouldn't match the costs of paid parking.
All of this could go away by just doing paid parking. I mean, that doesn't mean we have to put parking meters in front of everybody's spaces. This is getting way too complicated for a really simple issue.
State law requires that 55% of businesses sign a petition for it to pass, but city law requires 100%. About 80% of Old Town businesses signed the petition. For KMUW News, I'm Mia Hennen.
Wichita school officials think they've lost a recent bond vote, though the final results aren't in yet. What that means for some families is unclear, KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
Officials had a timeline for closing 4 elementary schools and renovating several others, but that was contingent on the bond passing. Devin Greenway has 2 kids at Woodland Elementary. It's one of the schools the district plans to close regardless of the vote's outcome. Greenway said that she voted for the bond because of new facility plans, but also the district's timeline. It would have allowed her kids more time in the school they love.
At least that whole group of kids would not have to deal with integrating into a new school, being without their friends at a really important time in their life where it's important for you to feel safe and secure.
Officials have not indicated when the schools might close. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
The Wichita City Council voted yesterday to extend its control over the Crown Uptown Theater after placing a 30-day hold on demolition of the building. The council has 180 days to explore alternative solutions for the theater, such as placing it on the Wichita Register of Historic Places. The owner of Crown Uptown says he's not willing to put his property on a registry. He would not say whether he would sell the property. The owner previously tried to expand the theater's capacity, but the council rejected the plan. The Wichita Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is holding 2 opportunities for the public to comment on a transportation plan. The group is in the final stages of creating the long-range plan, which includes roads, public transit, and bike paths. It aims to prioritize transportation improvements for the Wichita metro area, which includes more than 20 cities in three counties. The group will hold a virtual meeting from noon to 1 on March 12th that will be followed by an open house on March 26th. More information is at wampo.org. The National Weather Service in Wichita will hold its annual tornado drill today. Some parts of the state where snow and high winds are forecast have canceled the exercise. In Wichita, the drill is scheduled for 10 o'clock this morning. Weather officials say it's a good time for people to practice the safety procedures they would use to take shelter during a storm. The exercise is part of Severe Weather Preparedness Week, which began Monday. More information about being ready for severe weather is at weather.gov/ICT. We'll have more after this.
Support for Wichita's Early Edition comes from Walker's Jazz Lounge, highlighting weekly alchemy with Josue Estrada, a collaboration all about creativity and connection with a curated group of musicians and signature craft cocktails. Every Wednesday night from 7 to 10 at the Lounge, 252 North Moseley in Old Town. More at walkersjazzlounge.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. Sometimes the little places you pass every day hold much more significance than you realize. Becky Tanner takes us to one such spot.
On a blink and you miss its spot along Highway 50 in Stafford County, there's a cemetery that marks a pioneering past most Kansans may not know about. The Martin Cemetery is an all-black cemetery that's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It contains the graves of about 20 Exodusters who arrived in Kansas roughly 150 years ago.
I found out that I had relatives buried in St. John 2 years ago, which I was actually really surprised because I had no idea.
That's Lamont Bowen of Wichita, who's been researching his family history.
From what I've read about it, some of them were prior slaves in the South, and during the Emancipation Proclamation, they were freed.
Indeed, some of Bowen's ancestors were members of a mass migration referred to as Exodusters, a term derived from the Bible's recounting of the exodus of Israelites from Egypt. It began in the mid to late 1870s as support for Reconstruction following the Civil War waned. African Americans, many of them farmers, left the Deep South to find better lives on the western frontier. Thousands came to Kansas. Between 35 and 40 Exodusters families settled on the sandy soils of Stafford County. But why here?
You know, possibly it's fertile land, number one. And then it's kind of secluded out there in a prairie, like in the middle of nowhere. And maybe that's what they were looking for, is some seclusion, and, you know, especially coming out of slavery.
All told, between 15,000 and 20,000 Exodusters flocked to Kansas. They were urged on in part by St. John's namesake, John P. St. John, Kansas's 8th governor. Bowen's family settled across the highway from where the cemetery is located. 2 years ago, Bowen returned there.
It was a deep, heartfelt feeling, especially knowing the history, some of the things that happened there. I can only assume things were so rough for them that it probably wasn't safe. From what I understand, there was a Klan rally there at some point. So I'm sure there was issues there in terms of them being afraid, protecting their family, their kids, their livestock. So that would be, in my opinion, one of the reasons why they moved away.
The cemetery is just feet from the highway, where the only sounds are the swish of cars and semi-trucks passing by, never stopping to understand the legacy that lies nearby. I'm Becky Tanner.
Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
You can find more about the Exodusters and Martin Cemetery at KMUW.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We're back tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Walking around, ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.